Welcome to an Oscar edition of The Work. I'm Ryan Basham. Our engineer, producer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And here's your host, Bonnie Gillespie.
Whee! Yay! Happy post-Oscar, everybody. This is coming at you, episode 9, February 28th, 2011. Today, in addition to all the lovely post-Oscar stuff that we'll be talking about, we are joined in the studio by Randy Raphael.
Well, hello.
Welcome, Randy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're going to have a blast. And we'll be talking with him about some tips for those moving to Los Angeles, because he just very recently did so.
Very recently.
Okay. And so, welcome. I'm glad you're here in LA as well as on The Work. So, why don't we just get right into it, because I know we have a lot to talk about with all the awards stuff.
Yes.
So, Ryan, take us through it.
No big surprises at the Oscars. The King's Speech won Best Picture, took several other awards, Best Actor, so on and so forth. But we discussed recently about Melissa Leo's campaign, and she did end up taking Best Actress in a Supporting Role for The Fighter. So I guess the Consider Me campaign helped?
Well, so for those who aren't aware, the Consider Me campaign was basically she did what the studios would normally do in taking out ads in the trades. They're sometimes $10,000 a piece.
Yes.
To say, for your consideration, this performer. And that's the studio saying, we think this is someone you should consider. She basically said, I'm who I think you should consider. Yeah. And took the ads out herself, which was ballsy.
Yeah, very ballsy.
And it apparently worked, or
she
didn't hurt.
She plays ballsy characters, yeah. So it that works.
Well, and she had a F-bomb in her speech.
She did,
too,
which so. I thought was incredibly endearing, and it's so on brand. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I'm happy for it, and I enjoyed watching her sing along to Somewhere Over the Rainbow at the end with her Oscar, you know, the fist pump thing. I was just like, oh, this is such a lovely moment. Because, I mean, she was, you know, sharing an apartment a few years ago with some other actor friends, and now
good
she's an Oscar
success story.
Winner.
I like it. Good so. For her. No, but yeah, no surprises, really. Yeah. I think, yeah, everything was what we expected it to be.
Yeah. So, thank God that our hosts were somewhat entertaining. I enjoyed our hosts.
Well, I enjoyed Anne Hathaway, which
yes,
I knew
yes,
I would.
Yes, yes,
she was charming.
Yeah.
She was delightful.
She was.
I was very upset to see all of the negative buzz.
I
think that there's... Part of the problem is there are a lot of haters going on who just can't enjoy something that's fun.
I completely
agree
with that.
Because I'm kind of a curmudgeon, my own damn self.
Kind of?
And I was entranced by everything that they did. I actually thought that her partner, whatever his name is...
James Franco.
...was quite a perfect straight man for her to bounce off of.
I agree.
You know, his job was to stand there and say, I'm unfazed, right? And he did that every time. I loved... the fact that she called out Hugh Jackman for abandoning
her.
That
was so great.
I loved it.
I love the fact that everybody was making fun of the industry and the people in the industry, and that for the most part, everybody was good sports about being picked on.
Now, a lot of people from the old guard will say that's not what the Oscars are about. It's supposed to be more formal. It's supposed to be the nice version of everybody, you know, on best behavior, very formal and straight-laced. Compared to awards like the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards and such. But I really liked it being irreverent. I had such a blast.
I'll just call back to the stuff that they did from Bob Hope. Welcome to the Oscars, or as they call it in my house, Passover. How is that polite or dignified or anything? It's not. It's exactly what they did last night.
I also really enjoyed when Anne Hathaway had her flub, and she goes, oop, sorry, flub, drank at home.
And I love the auto-tune clip.
Oh, that was great.
A hoot. And of course, my favorite was the Best Picture nominees being done to whoever edited that.
To the
piece
King's Speech,
Oh my God, it was brilliant. And just in every way. Yeah. And I thought, boy, that guy, whoever it was, guy, gal, whoever edited that segment needs to get an Emmy nominee for Best Editing.
Yes.
On an award show, which I know they do categories for the award shows and everything in the Emmys. So.
And because that moment was so powerful, I think that we all forget how brilliantly comedic the initial segment was. That set the tone for the fact that they were mocking themselves and the movies and the industry and people in the industry. Morgan Freeman was outstanding.
That was great.
That was a nice moment.
That was great. I also enjoyed the dreidel.
Yeah, me too. It's like, nice touch, guys.
Oh, the Independent Spirit Awards also happened this past weekend.
Yes, they did.
Nothing really surprising happened. Darren Aronofsky won Best Director for Black Swan.
And that made me wonder if he might also win Best Director at the Oscars. Even though we knew that the King's Speech was going to sweep, it just seemed to me when he got that Independent Spirit Award on Saturday that there was a chance that he might get something as best director at the Oscars, but of course that was not to be.
Speaking of awards and nominated films, only one feature nominated for best picture at the Oscars was shot entirely in LA.
Which one?
The Kids Are All Right.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Wow.
Out of 10 nominated
films, only one was shot entirely in LA.
And
isn't that something?
That's saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
We know that Bonnie, you said this earlier that the Academy likes foreign films.
Of course.
But out of 10, you would think that it would be a few shot in LA. On a lot, give me something.
I don't know. I don't think people are shooting on lots anymore. Everybody's doing location shoots.
Exactly.
So, even Inception shot some in San Francisco, I think.
Sure.
But that's about as close as it got. Only partially shot in California.
That's interesting.
So it's a sign of the times.
That's true.
Another little bit of Oscar film news. The King's Speech finally got a PG-13 rating for a version minus 2 F-bombs.
So it basically, the rating it got was an R because overuse of the word fuck.
Yes.
And not fuck in the context of talking about the physical act and not swearing at somebody just as
he was... A verbal tick.
Using this as his tick, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's not okay to have child pornography, but it's okay to have a naked kid in a movie when it's not sexual. It's like, is it okay to curse when it's not actually a curse, but rather someone's disability?
It's fascinating.
Never mind.
Okay. it's just interesting what they've decided are the safe words and how many, you know, what's the quantity of bad words that make it still okay to have a PG-13 rating. And I'm just thinking of the 13-year-olds that I know, and I can't imagine any of them give a fuck.
Well,
frankly.
You know, it's not open-minded people who aren't offended by certain words don't do letter writing campaigns the Family Research Council organizes. People who don't care don't really have a voice in comparison to the vocal minority of people who are offended by everything.
Always true, yeah.
Maybe one day that'll change when people who are somewhere in the middle say something. Another important award ceremony took place this past week, and that, of course, was the Razzies.
Boy, did we mess up those predictions.
We didn't mess up. We got slaughtered.
I so thought it was Twilight Eclipse.
Who would have thought there were worse movies out there than Twilight?
I guess.
You must not have seen Sex in the City 2.
Well, why would I? Why would anyone?
Why would you put yourself through that?
But I did see The Last Airbender.
Yeah,
that one worst picture.
Yeah.
Sorry, babe.
Oh, jeez.
I don't whatever.
Well.
So wait, now the category that was the hilarious one for me was the worst on-screen couple or collaborative or ensemble or whatever, and one of the nominees was
Josh Brolin's face.
Yeah.
And Megan Fox's accent.
Yes. But they got beaten out by...
Worst...
By the gals.
By the entire cast of Sex and the City 2.
Yeah.
The entire cast. Who also won the four gal pals from Sex and the City 2, won Worst Actress.
Well, and you do realize, though, they are wiping away tears over this with dollar bills.
Of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Sandra Bullock was nominated or won for... the romantic film she did same year as the film she won the Oscar for.
And The Proposal.
The Proposal. And mm-hmm. She went to their ceremony or something and gave everybody there a copy of The Proposal. She's like, I want you to reconsider this, so I'm giving all of you a copy. It was great.
Well, I like it when the people who win show up and accept their Razzie. And they go, yeah, that did suck. I love that. That, to me, talk about not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go buy a yacht with the money I made from that film.
Right.
It was awful. I hated
Don't
it.
Don't hate.
For Oscar week, that makes the news.
Thank you very much, Ryan. And now let's meet our guest, Randy Raphael.
Well, hello.
So, Randy, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, and how long you've been in our fair city of Los Angeles.
I am an actor, director, designer who just moved here from Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii for the last 10 years doing a lot of community theater work. I like to call it lowered expectations theater. Because you can really do anything on stage and get away with it, and the audience loves you because you're doing it for them.
So there's a lot of love for theater.
There's a lot of love. So somewhere along the lines, I started getting this spark in the back of my head that, you know, I could reach a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. And LA started creeping in.
Interesting.
And I was doing a production, part of the world premiere of the Laramie Project 10 years later. And our director was an LA actor. And he and I were having a moment. He was giving me a pep talk and saying, you're good. Trust yourself. And then I started finding people who were advocating for actors in LA. And I came across Bonnie Gillespie. And not to sound like a monumental suck up, but
no, please.
But so much of what I was able to find was a connection that I found through your column. God, is there anyone who listens to this podcast who doesn't know about your column?
I should
hope
not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I tell my friends all the time. Go read The Actor's Voice. Read the archives. Then come back to me with questions, because most of what you need to find out is there. And what I found that was even more valuable than what you actually say in the column are the links to the resources, so you can follow down that rabbit hole and find other people who are on the same wavelength as you are.
I love that you mentioned that, because a lot of time goes into pulling up those links and getting things all linked up for each week's column. That's a really big part of the writing process that I'm doing. And so it's not just coming up with the column each week. It is getting all that stuff linked up. Because it's not just as simple as coming up with, here's the topic, and then write about it. Going and finding those resources and linking to them so that everyone does have a place where they can dig deeper if they'd like to me, it's how I would want to read. And it's, well, why have it web-based if we don't give you places that you can go read more and explore
Absolutely.
More and connect more?
Absolutely. And I found Marcy Liroff. Okay, Marcy Liroff's great. Because I found her, I found Jack Plotnick. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Jack Plotnick has been a revelation for me. I got to work on his last film because I created a relationship with him before I ever moved here. So find those people who are doing the things that you want to do, who are working at a level, you know, slightly beyond where you're at now, and connect with them, engage them in a conversation, and turn that conversation into a collaboration.
Well, and basically that's sort of how we find ourselves here. The reason that you were selected as a guest on The Work is because you created our logo for iTunes.
Exactly. And that was just so random too, because you posted, you know, we're on iTunes. We don't have a logo yet, but we're on. It's like, okay, you know, I've got some time on my hands and I've got graphic design skills. I got Photoshop. Hey, can I help?
Let's use the time. I'm so thrilled you did. Thank you for...
My pleasure. I think it turned out nicely.
It did indeed. Yeah. Now, how long have you been in town? Did we get to that?
We didn't get to that.
Okay.
I've been here for exactly 6 months.
Wow.
My 6 month anniversary was 2 days ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Once you start rolling, once you start running, once you start meeting people, once you start connecting and inspiring each other, this town is so full of opportunity and potential. It's amazing. It really, really blows my mind.
But I think you set yourself up for doing very well here by doing as much as you could before getting here.
And I did everything I could, but I came here without enough money.
What is enough money?
$3,000 is not enough money.
Got it.
I can tell you that much with complete certainty. $3,000 is not enough money. $10,000, I hear that thrown out a lot as a reasonable sum to bring with you. And I think that makes some sense.
So is being here everything you had hoped it would be?
Yes and no. There's a lot of it that's a lot scarier than I expected it to be. And the city is huge. I wasn't expecting quite such a crush of people. I knew it was here, but I didn't, you know, that scale.
Because you came from 50,000 people.
To a city of 15 million.
Right.
Yeah, it's a complete culture shock, and I'm only just now starting to recover from the culture shock part of it. The weather, I have not been crazy about.
You've come in a very interesting time, too, though. We've not had weather like this in the 14 years I've been here.
It's been a little bizarre, and I've been cursing every moment. It's fucking cold. I don't like this cold. You know, I came from Hawaii, where it's not cold. We don't know what cold is.
There are some who would say people in L.A. don't know what cold is.
Yes.
I absolutely
And
do.
I like to live thousands of miles away from them.
But what has really amazed me about this city more than anything else is how genuinely warm and generous people are. I was expecting that stereotypical backstabbing Hollywood competitiveness that you hear about. And I'm sure it's here somewhere. I have yet to encounter it.
I think people like to say it's here to make fewer people come.
That was the thing that most shocked / impressed me about Los Angeles, is especially in the entertainment industry, the people who are worth knowing are some of the most giving, compassionate people I've ever met.
Absolutely.
And I was not expecting that when I got here. I was expecting cutthroat. I was expecting...
You know, what can you do for me? You can't do anything for me, so screw you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think any industry is going to be that way, though. It's going to have its generous people and its not so nice people. And any city is going to be that way. I think it speaks volumes about some people, how negative their attitude is about L.A. People there. If you meet someone whose only comments about L.A. are the people suck and the traffic sucks... It's like, is the city the problem, or are you the problem? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, know? And there's a lot to be said for that positive mindset, you know, coming into it, you know, you're going to attract the people that you're going to attract. You're going to attract the events in your life that you're going to attract. That if you put it out there, you're going to start making those choices that make things come to you. And if I go out looking for success, then that's what I'm going to find.
Well, there's that great quote, we don't see the world as it is, we see the world as we are.
Absolutely.
There's a scientific fact to back that up, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your brain takes in millions or billions of pieces of information every second and has to select only a few hundred to commit to memory and bring to your consciousness.
Right.
So what filters is it going to use?
And a lot of our filters are a choice.
Absolutely.
Many of them.
Yeah.
So we just choose the world we want.
Exactly. And we've had that conversation already.
Yeah.
And thank you so much again for pulling me out of that dark night of despair. Dark night of despair always is going to happen.
Well, I have to tell you, the dark night of despair happens faster on Facebook. So that's why I put the smackdown on that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, don't, because anything can explode as soon as you put it out there and it starts hitting the feeds. And then people feed upon the feeds.
Yes.
And that negativity becomes exponential. So that's, I think, the smartest thing you can do is when you are in those bad places, and as artists, we all cycle through them. Whatever you do, don't put it out on the social networks that you are in a bad place. Call your best friend, go to the spa, take a walk, go to the gym, hit the beach, whatever it is that you need to do to get out of that space. But for the love of God, don't put it on the internet.
Exactly.
It's hard to come back from that. Well, so what tips would you give someone who's in your position, not 20 years old, trying to make the move to Los Angeles and doing research before they head out?
I think the most important thing that any one of us can do is know who you are, know very clearly who you are, good and bad, and be very okay with that, because it's your flaws that are going to get you hired.
Absolutely.
And that to me is still something I'm wrapping my brain around. But you know, the fact that I'm not a 20-something, good-looking, romantic lead is definitely a point in my favor, because this town has 10,000 of those. I have yet to see anyone walking down the street who looks like me.
Brian Posehn looks like you.
Brian Posehn, I'm better looking than he is.
Yes, you're better looking, and he's probably about a foot taller, too. He's a moose.
But, you know, he's someone who I have actually looked at. You know, it's like, you know, you're doing it, and you're doing it damn well.
But look at that very specific character type. Yeah.
Absolutely, but he's done it repeatedly on many shows through the years.
He's been the exact same guy on about 40 different television
exactly.
shows.
Exactly.
And has a great penchant to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, you know, there are opportunities.
You know,
even if you are, you know, older, even if you aren't, you know, conventionally attractive, thank God for being unique and an individual, because that's your biggest strength.
Right on.
It's still a struggle for me to embrace a lot of that, but that's an active process. And it's, again, it's a choice that I'm making to do that. So, you know, be very okay with who you are and bring that to the table. Bring your most authentic, true, vulnerable, mixed up, uncomfortable self to the table, because that's what they want.
That's fantastic. Randy, thanks. I want to close with one last question, and
yeah.
that would be, what would Randy, 6 months in LA, like to see going on for Randy at 1 year in LA?
A lot more active work. And what that work might be, I'm not terribly specific about it yet.
Good.
I'll get more specific as I move into it. But I know I want to be involved heavily in a theater company, because I love theater no matter what. And you'll never convince me otherwise, Keith. Theater is, you know, I've got theater in my blood.
No, if it feeds your soul, you have to do it.
What shape it's going to take, I don't know.
I love that about you. I was worried if you would come with, I want to be a co-star on a top 5 show, and I want to have an agent that's one of the big, you know, 20. And
That's my 3-4-5 year goal, maybe.
Great.
But for now, it's just about actively participating and developing relationships that are going to last a while.
And because I find that results-oriented mindset that you don't have is exactly what gets results. Great. Randy, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate you joining us for the work. I believe we have some not really news.
So we do have some not really news.
We love not really news.
Charlie Sheen's show 2.5 Men has been canceled for the rest of the season. No word yet on what's going to happen next season. They're still under contract for another season.
Well, considering the fuse he's lighting daily at this point, I cannot imagine they're going to reward him with more millions of
dollars. Did you read what he said about the show's creator?
Oh, yeah. And he did interviews all this morning on all the talk shows and everything. He's just been...
And he's saying he doesn't know what he did to piss people off.
And he's like, don't you understand how special I am? I'm tired of ignoring the fact that I'm special and acting like I'm not special, and all you people acting like I'm not special. And I'm like, yeah, you're a fun kind of special.
Yeah, exactly. You are special.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Warner Brothers stands to lose upwards of $100 million if they don't do another season of Two and a Half Men in licensing fees.
It's just such a bummer to all the people who have, you know, jobs on that show. Yeah. Like, I think of the crew and the supporting cast and the people who aren't making the millions of dollars that he's making off this, who are going to suffer because of this jackass. I don't know. We got a little Emperor's New Clothes situation as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just putting it out there. This is the last time Charlie Sheen will be part of Not Really News until he is dead.
I think
he's got a couple more.
Something else is kind of interesting is going to happen. This is going to be a Lindsay Lohan situation. Something even more crazy is going to happen, and we might have to talk about it.
It's not going to be Not Really News until he's dead, which could be next week.
Aw, poor Charlie Sheen.
I'm not going to disagree, but I'm not going to.
Hey, you know. Well, we hope he gets better, and we hope all this stuff writes itself in the best possible way. But
of course.
And sobriety is a wonderful thing.
He should look into that.
He should look into it. Man, more than a day or two in rehab is probably what he needs.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a whole cycle.
He needs
At home doesn't work.
No, he needs the kind of rehab that you can't go, I'm going to actually leave for the day, and then I'll come back.
I'm going to do an interview. I'm going to make some phone calls. No, it doesn't work that way.
He doesn't need fancy rehab. He needs, like, SmackDown rehab.
Yeah. Lock him up and you know, detox him.
That's right.
Wow. Well, on that note, it has been quite the episode of The Work. Thank you so much to our wonderful guest, Randy Raphael.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
We're so glad to have you. I'm Ryan Basham. Our engineer, producer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And as always, your host is Bonnie Gillespie.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And until next week, keep creating.